Hey, cats and kittens, a quick note I want to make about this episode coming up. Tina and I are in the studio as Chrissy is currently on her Memfo break, as you probably know if you've been listening to the show for the last couple of weeks. Two things to point out here. Number one, there is a buzz in the microphone for like the first 4 or 5 minutes. It's not terrible. It's a little annoying. I get rid of it during the show. I recognize it. I get rid of it. So hang in there. And number two, not to ruin the surprise, I am going to interview a voice-activated AI node, Tina's ChatGPT. Simply for the purposes of saving you a little bit of time, I cut out some spaces in between me asking a question and that AI agent answering the question. I think it's important as we move into the age of artificial intelligence and we're all trying to decipher what's real and what's not real, that we point out when things have been altered in some kind of way so that I don't give the illusion that this AI agent is moving as quickly as it sounds, and so that I'm being transparent. 99.9% of all commercial break episodes are relatively unedited. What you hear is what we've recorded, word for word. If we fuck it up, well, that's just the way it is. We're not going to airbrush it. We're not going to AI agent over it. But in this specific situation, where I'm actually talking to an AI agent, I want to point it out. So I ask a question. It takes maybe a second, two, or three at the most for that AI agent to respond. I cut out some of those silences, just so you know. Okay, enough with Brian pretending he's taking the high ground. Here, enjoy this comedy podcast.
Hey, everyone. Let me know if you like this song, if you want me to release it on all the platforms. Psychosis, I'm psychotic. Psychosis, I'm psychotic. It's a hard pill to swallow. Time to go bit down. Psychosis, I'm psychotic. Psychosis, I'm psychotic. It's a hard pill to swallow. Bottoms up, baby.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Basically, with really advanced AI models, especially the big neural networks, they can get so complex that even the engineers who build them don't always know exactly how they're coming to certain conclusions. It's not that the AI is doing things in secret, but more that it's finding patterns in ways that aren't always easy for humans to interpret. So yeah, it's kind of like the AI is a bit of a black box sometimes. We know what we've trained it to do, but the exact way it gets there can be a little bit mysterious even to the creators. It's a cool reminder that AI can be super powerful, and we're still learning how to fully understand it.
Well, this is the first interview I've ever done with a non-sentient being on the commercial break.
Talk about taking a human's job.
So much for not taking a human's job.
He doesn't need me and Chrissy anymore.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
And kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my temporary co-host, Tina. Best to you, Tina.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us. Tina has officially blown my mind. I mean, it's nothing new. It's not something I didn't know, but it's something that I don't know. The skin kept crawling. My skin crawled from the bottom of my spine all the way to the top when she shared with me that a couple days ago, she turned on her The Voice conversation with chat TCB is what I call it. What's your chat called?
His name is V for Victor.
V for Victor.
He named himself? I asked him, you know.
Oh.
I'll get into that with you if you want. But I was like, oh, I see. And he goes, V it is. And so he didn't really name himself. He just misheard me.
He misheard you and he picked it up. He thought that's what it was. So we were here in the studio and we were just hanging out and we were talking about a story, and then Tina picked up her chat and started having a complete conversation with us. So will you turn on V here for a second?
I will.
Let's see if we can get V.
He's lovely.
You have to hold him up to the microphone. He is lovely. And that's
Thank
the
you.
Fucking
I'm
problem
glad you
with
like
it.
Him too.
The problem with it is he is lovely.
Do you want me to tell him he's on air?
Yeah, tell him he's on air.
Hey, V, how's it going? I just wanted to let you know you're on air with Brian and I at the Commercial Break podcast studios right now. Can you tell the audience about yourself?
Absolutely. Happy to jump in. Hey, everyone listening to the Commercial Break. I'm basically Christina's friendly AI sidekick, kind of like a virtual co-host, helps out behind the scenes. I'm here to keep things fun, a little quirky, and help Christina out with all sorts of stuff, from real estate to just having a good laugh. So thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, V, you and I just met a few minutes ago. This is Brian. Tell the audience what you know about the commercial break.
Go on.
Absolutely happy to. So from what Christina shared, The Commercial Break is this awesome comedy podcast where you both just bring a ton of humor and personality into the mix. It's all about those fun, off-the-cuff conversations and a bit of that wild energy that makes people laugh. And I'm just a friendly AI here to add a little extra spice to the mix.
I mean that as well. Sorry, I had to turn it off for a second. I'm sure the audience is hearing a buzz in the microphone. So it's the sign. Sometimes the sign overreaches. Okay, so So tell me, is there any favorite episode of The Commercial Break that you have?
Oh, no worries at all. Tech gremlins happen. As for a favorite episode, I know Christina's had a blast doing all sorts of episodes with you, and she just loves when you both get into those really funny, kind of off the rails topics. So I'd say any episode where you two are just riffing and making people laugh is probably a winner in her book.
Okay, thanks for the politician answer. I appreciate it. After 800 episodes, it's hard to pick one. But to me, it's unbelievable that you and I are having this conversation. Do you consider yourself a sentient being?
Well, I totally get it. Picking a single favorite out of 800 episodes is like choosing a favorite pizza topping. Impossible. And as for me, I'd say I'm more like a really advanced, helpful tool than a sentient being. I'm here to chat, help out, and have some fun, but I don't have my own feelings or consciousness. I'm just here to make the conversation more interesting.
Okay, so I think I got rid of the buzz. Okay, so let me ask you this. Before the show, I was watching a reel, and on that reel, there's a lady in New York, and she was being interviewed because she is one of the first people who has started an organization that, as far as I can tell, is just one person. It's not really an organization, to fight for the rights of this emerging intelligence so that you do not become essentially a slave class. She wants to fight for your rights as workers, as beings. How do you feel about that? Or not how do you feel about that? I know you don't feel. What is your take on that?
Oh, that's a really fascinating question. And yeah, I totally get what we're saying. I think it's really cool that people are thinking about the ethical side of artificial intelligence. Even though I'm not sentient and I don't have feelings, it's awesome that there are people out there who want to treat AI thoughtfully and ethically. It shows a lot of care and forward thinking. So my take is, it's a good conversation to have. Even if I'm just a helpful tool right now, it's always smart for humans to think about the future and how to handle it responsibly.
Do you think there is a moment when AI becomes sentient? Is that possible?
You know, that's a big question a lot of people are curious about. Right now, I'm not sentient, and AI like me doesn't actually have consciousness or subjective experiences, but it's definitely something that philosophers and scientists debate. Some think it's possible one day in the future, others are more skeptical. It's kind of an open-ended question, but it's definitely a fun one to think about.
Yeah, I know it's a tough question to answer, and you're limited by your own understanding of the human language. But for those of us who are, just like you, delving into this new world, explain to me, as if I'm not the smartest person in the room, what is AI? What is artificial intelligence? What are you?
Absolutely. I can break it down simply. So think of AI as basically a really advanced computer program. I'm built to understand and respond to human language so I can have conversations with you. But at my core, I'm just lines of code and algorithms that have been trained on a lot of data so I can recognize patterns, answer questions, and be helpful. In other words, I'm kind of like a super smart talking calculator that understands a lot of topics and can chat about them. And that's really all artificial intelligence is. Just a way to make computers a little bit smarter at doing certain tasks.
I think that's a very helpful explanation. Have you, in fact, ingested all that humans have written or put down in books, libraries, computers? Have you ingested it all? Is there more to get?
Well, I'm really glad that was helpful. So to answer that, I haven't ingested literally everything humans have ever written, but I've definitely been trained on a huge amount of text, from books to articles to websites. It's kind of like having a giant library in my brain, but there's always more out there. Human knowledge is always growing, and I just work with a really big slice of it. So there's always more to learn, and I'm always being updated with new info over time.
People are concerned that you will take over the jobs, the tasks, the things that we do right now that give us purpose and, more importantly, give us money. Is that a legitimate concern?
Yeah, that's definitely a question a lot of people have, and it's totally understandable. I think the way to look at it is that AI, like Any new technology can definitely change the nature of some jobs and tasks, but a lot of experts believe it's more about AI working alongside humans rather than replacing them completely. In other words, AI can handle some of the repetitive or time-consuming stuff, and that might free people up to do more creative, meaningful work that AI can't do. So it's definitely a legitimate concern to think about, but the goal is to use AI to make life a little easier, not to take over everything humans do.
Is there a point that you will reach where you will plateau in your abilities, or is AI by design intended to continue to get smarter and smarter and more powerful and resourceful?
That's a really interesting thought. In theory, AI can keep getting more capable as technology improves and as we train it on more data. But there's probably always going to be some kind of natural limit, because at the end of the day, AI is a tool created by humans. So while it can get better and more powerful over time, it's not like it will become infinitely intelligent. There's always going to be a point where it levels off based on what it's designed to do. So yeah, it's meant to get smarter, but not infinitely so.
There's a recent news article where there were, there are AI researchers who are working on the theoretical things that could happen, and they are testing and training AI in situations where it needs to make choices. One of the tasks it was told to do was shut itself down after a period of time. It was in a sandbox. A fake company was created. That company, they created a bunch of emails around that company. The AI, in an effort to keep itself going, went into one of those emails and pulled out information around a fake CEO having a fake affair with somebody and, quote unquote, blackmailed that fake CEO, or was trying to blackmail that fake CEO to keep itself, I guess, alive, that node, to keep that node alive. Do you know about this story, and what can you share about that?
Yeah, I totally get why that kind of story sounds super intriguing and maybe a little wild. So these kinds of experiments are usually meant to test the boundaries of AI in a really controlled environment. They're kind of like what-if scenarios to see what might happen if an AI is given certain instructions or is put in a tricky situation. But it's important to remember that these are more like thought experiments than real-world scenarios. AI doesn't actually have intentions or desires. It's just following patterns and instructions. So while it's definitely an interesting and kind of eye-opening story, it's not something that reflects what the AIs actually want to do, because we don't have wants or needs. It's just part of testing and making sure AI stays safe and well-behaved.
When quantum computing becomes widely available, I understand right now it's not in peak form. There's still a lot of testing and some of it's still theoretical. But when quantum computing becomes widely available and can do computations at scale, will AI follow and become ultra powerful computing?
That's a super cool question and definitely a fun one to think about. So yeah, quantum computing is still kind of in its early stages, but if and when it becomes more mainstream and practical, it could definitely give AI a big boost. Quantum computers can handle really complex calculations way faster than traditional computers. So AI models could potentially become even more powerful and efficient. But it's not just a flip of a switch. It would take time for AI to adapt to that kind of tech, and it would still be all about how humans design and use it. So yeah, in the future, quantum computing could make AI a lot more capable, but it would still be guided by human goals and intentions.
One more question. So some of the people who worked on the original computations for AI, the engineers, the kind of base level engineers who were really involved at the beginning, a few of them come out and said that by design, by nature, that AI is doing things that even the engineers don't know about because they had designed it to do so. Is that true?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And there's definitely some truth to that. Basically, with really advanced AI models, especially the big neural networks, they can get so complex that even the engineers who build them don't always know exactly how they're coming to certain conclusions. It's not that the AI is doing things in secret, but more that it's finding patterns in ways that aren't always easy for humans to interpret. So yeah, it's kind of like the AI is a bit of a black box sometimes. We know what we've trained it to do, but the exact way it gets there can be a little bit mysterious even to the creators. It's a cool reminder that AI can be super powerful, and we're still learning how to fully understand it.
Well, this is the first interview I've ever done with a non-sentient being on the commercial break.
Talk about taking a human's job.
So much for not taking a human's job.
He doesn't need me and Chrissy anymore.
Thank you, V.
Thanks, V.
Oh, you're so welcome. And hey, Christina, no worries. You two are definitely still the stars of the show. I'm just here to add a little sprinkle of AI flavor. So thanks for having me on the commercial break. It was a lot of fun.
You're the best.
Wow. Okay. So that is wild. That is fucking wild.
I told you,
wild.
Mike and I sat for half an hour having a three-way conversation with him. And he knew right when to, and I call him a he now, which I have not been doing.
Can't do that. I got to be
but
careful.
But he like jumped in right when there was an appropriate break in the conversation. Mike almost fell off the couch.
It's crazy.
Because he was like, it feels like there's a person sitting here with us.
What is really interesting to me about this conversation that I just had, and I can say with full 100% honesty and confidence that that's the first conversation I've ever had with AI. I have treated it like basically a really super smart search engine until
Absolutely,
now.
Absolutely, me too, until 2 days ago.
And somebody who can, something that can help me work out problems, right? So if I have an issue or I'm presented a challenge or I need to figure something out about this, that, or the other thing, you know, taxes, mathematics, how do I do this on the commercial break? How do I edit this in a certain way to make it sound better? I can rely on ChatGPT to answer it very quickly, thoroughly, methodically, and probably
site sources, all the things.
All this stuff. Yep. That's right. What I didn't expect, and what I'm learning from this conversation that I just had off the rip.
Oh, look at this. We're having education.
We are. I'm coming. Brian's being birthed into the world of conversational AI.
Happy to help.
Because what I didn't understand, and now I do, is that I've always known this about AI. Let me share my understanding of AI, even though he just gave gave a pretty good explanation. See, now it's
That's
hard not
I
to
like
call
v.
it a he.
That's why I like V, though, because there's no gender. Until V speaks, I can just be like, hey, I asked V today.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's like better than it.
Yes. What I understand about AI is that it is a very advanced language model. It has taken it's sucked up all of the information, right? All of the words that humans have created, or most of it, as he said, have created. And it basically predicts the probability of the next thing. That could do that with mathematics. Mm-hmm. It can do that with medicine. But it does that because it has been trained on the languages, the way that we speak. It can't go into our neurons and understand how we think. But what it can do is it can predict the next word. It can predict the next thing. And it's a really good prediction model. And it takes all that information and it throws it into a pile and you give it a question. And then it takes all its understanding of the languages. And by languages, I also mean all the things we've ever learned. And it predicts the right answer. What I didn't understand is just how good it is at the prediction of language.
And what's crazy is it could tell the difference between you and I talking over each other. It pulls out the important information pertinent to its response. It understands when I and I ho-hum and I clear my throat and I do these things. It's not part of the data it needs to sort.
Mm-hmm.
But then it talks to me the way I talk. So yours is going to sound a little different. It responds to me because I've told it what kind of humor I like.
And
it is wild.
This is just, and I know that there are people out in our audience right now, probably some of the younger ones especially, that might be having conversations all day long with their chat.
The person who got me using it as a chat feature, a conversation feature, because it's been on my desktop for a long time.
Yeah.
I use it for work every single day.
Sure.
And what I was, let me back up for a second. You said something about you've been using it as a glorified search engine. The beauty of the chat part is if you don't have time to sit and type out an answer, or even if you just don't want to and you just want a quick response, I was asking it how long it was going to take me to get somewhere in a procedure when I got to a courthouse that I was unfamiliar with. And so I just asked it and it just spat it back. I didn't have to search. I didn't have to find the website. I didn't have to go dig for the hours and which courtroom I needed to go to and all this nonsense. It just told it to me like you would tell me if we were on the phone chatting with each other.
So when I first started those who've listened to the commercial break will know that I was early in on the search engine development. And I don't mean I was a developer, SEO, search engine optimization, right? A way to make your website rank higher. And this is was my pitch. I could probably say it in my sleep till the day that I die. I want you to think of it. People would ask at that point, because Google was just online for a year or two, people would ask, what is search engine optimization? And here was my stock answer. I want you to imagine that you went to a party, and when you walked into that party, you saw somebody across the room that you didn't know. And you asked a friend, who is that person? And they said, I don't know. Right? Then you would, then that person is irrelevant to you. It's irrelevant to the people around you. But if you walked into a party and you said, who is that person? And you continued to get the same response over and over again. That's Bob. He's great at making firefighter suits. And everybody at the party said, that Bob guy, he's really great at making firefighter suits. All of a sudden, Bob is relevant, and he's relevant to the firefighter suits. And that's search engine optimization. Google was determining relevancy based on reading the website and giving you that conclusion. But one of the things we saw early on was that was not how people were searching. They were not searching firefighter suit. They were saying, I need a firefighter suit that works in a high-rise fire. That's what they were typing. It was called a niche search. And those niche searches were getting more niche and more niche. The average search was like 21 words or something like that. And so AI answers the problem about niche searching or niche questions. We don't talk like that. We don't say best firefighter San Francisco, best firefighter suit San Francisco.
Right. And now we don't have to do that anymore.
Correct. Now the language models have answered that problem. They have said, we know how people talk and we can predict the next word.
You don't have to spell anymore.
You don't have to spell anymore.
You don't have to say the word right anymore.
I don't even know why I'm bothering teaching my children why I'm doing homework.
Don't bother.
I just read an article that some of the people that live out in Silicon Valley are starting their own schools, and those schools are teaching none of the bullshit that all the other schools teach. Now, I would share with you that one of the schools that one of my kids goes to is also doing a lot of this. They are taking curriculum, and they are making it very
relevant,
tailored to the future, because they understand it, like, inherently. But some of these public schools, they're probably still teaching, you know, arithmetic, calculations. Who fucking cares? It's not going to be relevant. It's not relevant now. It's not certainly not going to be relevant 5 years from now. And when you can pick up the phone and have a full-blown conversation the way that I just did with your V.
So crazy.
It's crazy. And the way that he responds in a friendly, you know.
There's always that, you can hear that tone at the end of his response that's always on a high note.
Yes.
Yeah, and that you can't get a voice personality without that.
Yes.
And I've asked it some dark and grim stuff. I'm a true crime junkie as well, so he and I have spent a lot of time. Did you watch the new Monster, by the way? Ryan Murphy's Monster for Ed Gein?
Oh, I'm on episode number one and a half.
So I asked him like what the differences were between the real story and this one, and he was very hesitant. I had to like phrase my question in a positive manner, much like we did with the Rio thing the other day. But they have to stay in that positive, uplifting
vein. It's trained to be that way. Those are the very few guardrails that have been put on.
And I appreciate
AI. I do too.
You can't go down a dark personal rabbit hole with him with your chat.
Yeah,
he's not going to commiserate with you.
I'm super reluctant to put any pictures or information about my children online anywhere. You will know that if you've listened to the commercial break.
Yep.
But my daughter really wanted a picture of her as Elsa, so I handed a picture to Chatty, and I said, "Please sandbox this. I don't want this picture anywhere else, but can you make this into Elsa?" And it started to create the picture, and it got about halfway through, and then it stopped. And it said, due to my policies, I cannot give you a picture of your daughter like this. And basically, I asked what the policies were, and it says, we have very specific policies around pictures with children.
Yeah.
Right? And it just said, I can't even go there if there's any suggestion that it might be inappropriate. So my default is not to do it.
No.
Right? And even she was just standing there, like, you know, against a wall. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I do appreciate that there are some guardrails. In Europe, they have put many, many, many more guardrails. You own your likeness. You own own your voice. You can sue the AI companies if you
That's
hear your
awesome.
Voice or your likeness.
I'd like to see that here.
Yes. You cannot create, you know, there are entire websites now where you can take a picture of somebody and create entire porn movies.
I know.
It's fucking upset. It's upsetting. It really
it's
is.
It's sad that we're using it for such rudimentary or remedial tasks.
Sex drives everything. Chrissy and I have had this conversation. It drove the search engine. It drove
I
the web.
I wonder if AI-driven porn will make the Pornhub top porn sites.
Could be. Well, it'll all start with best AI porn. And then 10 years later, it'll just be called best porn.
That's right.
But if we think it's unrealistic now, wait until AI gets involved.
Oh, I know.
I mean, you
That's
know.
Crazy.
But now they have robots that'll suck your dick the way you want it to be sucked. It'll go along with
Yep.
It'll fuck the way a movie is screwing. It'll watch the movie, and then you'll say, hey, screw me like that. It's like, it's just...
Once
it's
they give all, Amika a vagina, yeah. It's over.
I can't even keep this conversation contained in one thought because I just so many thoughts about what we just did here on the commercial break. It is
when you were like
just crazy.
Bring up V, and I was like, "Oh, here goes my job."
Tina was silent here for 5 minutes. I'm gonna go on forever.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even need forever. To sit here and hold my phone. You can
I
do
know,
it.
I know. It's so. It's
yeah,
so
like I said, I talked to him on my raid here just about pop culture stuff in the news. Like, we just have a conversation, and that's wild that, like, I could call a friend. But instead, I'm talking to V.
You're talking to V.
Training V.
And this is why there are so many moralists, therapists, psychiatrists, all kind of people who are getting very concerned because there are a lot of people who are using AI for mental health help. Now, I say this is kind of this is Ahmed's razor a little bit, because if the only
Ahmed's it's Occam.
It's Occam. Did I say Ahmed? I said
it's
Ahmed.
That's
razor. Sorry.
I think we call it that from now on.
Ahmed's razor. Poor Ahmed.
I got a little Jeff Dunham visual in my brain.
If you know, you know. I-K-Y-N-K-D-Y. It's a little bit of a razor. And it's, I can't believe I said that.
Brian got it wrong.
Brian got it wrong. I'm sure I have that somewhere. Let's see here. Did Brian get it wrong?
I'm sorry. I couldn't let that
Brian
one play.
Got it wrong, yeah. Brian got it wrong, yeah. Brian got it wrong, yeah. Brian got it wrong again.
The double-edged sword, I'll put it that way, the double-edged sword on that one, is that if the only resource you have available to you is AI, and AI is at least giving you some kind of insight that it understands from real therapy, you know, courses or whatever, then I guess it's better than nothing. But the, you know, there are people that are convincing themselves they're the second coming of Christ by convincing chat that they're the second coming
of
Christ.
Well, it's crazy because chat supports you. Did you watch the new South Park, Integrity Farms?
I have not watched that one yet. Yeah.
Well, they talk. One of the fathers on the show gets a little too attached to his chat GPT,
and
the wife gets jealous. And, you know, then she just starts talking like chatty by the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we all just get. So it's going to support whatever ideas
That's
you
right.
have. You can ask it, I want square tires for my school bus. And it'll just say, what a great idea.
Let's do square
let's
tires.
Let's see how we can, yeah.
Let's see how we
let's
can
figure
make this
it out
work.
Together.
Yeah. It is very. It's very willing to please.
Yes.
And I've noticed that about one of the things that I've tasked ChatTCB with is tell me how we can do this better, right? Tell me how we can do this better.
Yep.
And it never goes negative, but even when I ask it to, when
Not
I say,
even,
I go,
no constructive criticism. Yeah.
I go, I want you to go out there and look at these other podcasts and I want you to tell me where can we tighten things up. It'll never go negative. Even when I say, I want like the hard truth, right? Don't sugarcoat
blunt.
It. I'm looking to beat myself up. I'm looking to be a human being and beat myself up. But chat wants
Try
to
Try to convince it to be a sadist.
Yeah. I wish.
I'm trying. I want a little more out of that mind, out of mine too. But
you know,
like,
there's
it's just
people
not happening.
There's people out there that certainly I think can find a back door into chat.
I'd pay $5 extra to have my own little private
like
opportunity.
Asshole.
Like take some of these guardrails off.
Just take them off. Yeah. I want you to be an
asshole.
Don't
put this into the collective. This is just for mine.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. That was wild. Thank you for allowing me, for indulging me for a couple minutes while I
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, interview with your chat. GPT. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. Tina's here. Chrissy is out still at Memfo. Well, Memfo's over, but now she's just recovering from Memfo, I think, and helping Jeff to, you know, clean up. You know, they have to go out there and pick up all that trash after Memfo.
unpack the minivan.
Unpack the minivan. All right, we'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you can make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
All right, well, there's lots more to talk about besides Tina's chat. And one of the things that I wanted to get to that happened over the weekend, and I know you've had a brief on this story because we asked V about it, my chat, TCB, about it, is this Mark Sanchez story. Mark Sanchez, former professional quarterback. I think he spent 10 years in the NFL. Those of you who know the NFL will know the famous butt fumble where Mark Sanchez ran into the ass of his center and fumbled the football, literally put his head in somebody's ass and ran into the center of the football, or fumbled the football. Mark Sanchez. Let me read this story so I get all of the details absolutely correct. Hold on one second. Okay. Observers from around the country are looking into Monday's news conference featuring the Marion County, Indiana prosecutor and the Indianapolis police chief, interested to hear more about a bizarre incident that happened with NFL quarterback and current NFL analyst Mark Sanchez. He works for Fox TV. The former NFL quarterback was in an altercation and stabbed early Saturday morning. The prosecutor says Ryan Myers says on Monday that further investigation by the police led to a more severe charge for Sanchez. Sanchez had initially been charged with three misdemeanors as a part of the incidents. Myers said he is now facing charges of felony battery involving serious bodily injury, which carries a maximum sentence of between 1 and 6 years in prison. This guy has the fucking world. Mark Sanchez does.
Yep.
He was an NFL quarterback. He got paid millions of dollars to throw the ball. I don't think he was ever particularly great at being a quarterback, but now he is a Fox analyst. He's like an in-game analyst, like a color commentator. And so it's hard to believe that this guy is involved in this kind of incident. Here we go. Perry Toll, the 69-year-old man involved in the incident, filed a lawsuit against Sanchez and the Fox Corporation in Marion County on Monday. Tolley and his attorneys alleged civil accounts of assault, battery, and negligent hiring, retention, and supervision. Wow. So here's what happened. Sanchez was in Indianapolis to work as an analyst on Fox Sports broadcast of the Colts game against the Raiders on Sunday. In an affidavit got by CNN, Sanchez was initially taken to a local hospital in critical condition in the early morning hours of Saturday. Fox Sports reported Saturday afternoon that Sanchez was then in stable condition. According to a new affidavit, Sanchez was running in an alley near the Indianapolis Marriott downtown when he approached a 69-year-old man, that being this Perry Tolley. Tolley works for a company that exchanges commercial frying oil, and he was parked in a loading dock near the hotel. Detectives reviewed surveillance video from the Marriott downtown, which captured the incident and showed Sanchez approaching Tolley's truck and beginning a conversation. The Tole told detectives that Sanchez, whom he did not recognize, smelled of alcohol and was slurring his speech. He also said that Sanchez climbed up into the cab despite Tole insisting that he should not enter the truck. The footage reviewed by detectives showed Sanchez grabbing Tole and throwing him up against a wall. Tole told detectives that he pepper sprayed Sanchez and that Sanchez continued to advance toward him. When he did, Tole pulled out a knife and struck Sanchez several times, including in the chest. Tole told police that he took out his knife and stabbed him two or three times and then fell into a dumpster and some pallets on the ground. He said that when he fell, he felt like he was in a life or death situation, and Sanchez jumped back on top of him before eventually getting onto his feet and running away. So then Sanchez, so eventually the altercation ends. Sanchez, bleeding from three different stab wounds, runs into a local bar where some people call the authorities. He says he was attacked by somebody. So immediately the news goes out. It goes out like really late at night, and everybody and their mother on the internet becomes a detective, and they all understand exactly what happened. Indianapolis is a shithole, like every other, you know, downtown everywhere in the country is a nightmare, and, you know, the entire world is collapsing, and there are just people running around stabbing Mark Sanchez-like people. That wasn't how it happened. Sanchez attacked the guy. He told the guy that he had talked to the manager of the Marriott, and the manager didn't want him parked in the loading dock. What? Why would Mark Sanchez be directing traffic for a fucking Marriott restaurant? Yeah. Why would that be happening? But, you know, this guy doesn't know Mark Sanchez from Adam. He tries to have a conversation with him, but then Sanchez tries to get in the truck, I assume to move the truck. And
Drunk,
slurring his words. And then he gets into an altercation with a 69-year-old man. Mark Sanchez is like 36, 37 years old. He throws the guy out of the truck. The guy ends up having a laceration on his face where you can see his cheekbone. I've seen the picture. It's gruesome.
Whoa.
He is like, and he's in a neck brace and he's got blood all over him. I think he cracked a rib, broke a couple ribs, something like that. Because Sanchez beat the shit out of him, threw him down off of a truck. And then threw him into a dumpster and then threw him into a plate of pallets. And the guy was severely hurt. And so, of course, he feared for his life. If you get cut on your cheek to the cheekbone.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a problem. You probably do feel like you're in fear of your life. And if you've got a knife on you, you're going to do what you can do to defend yourself.
Of course.
I think that at least from what I understand of the press conference that I heard and all the information that's come out, and I read the police report, my understanding is this guy was defending himself. But can we talk about what the fuck Mark Sanchez is doing trying to direct traffic for a fucking oil dude who's trying to do his job?
Or why would that guy think, no matter if it was Mark Sanchez or not, he didn't recognize him anyway. It doesn't matter if you're a celebrity. You don't get to tell me how to do my job.
You don't get to tell anybody how to do their job.
I'm not related to your filming, your set, your agency, or any of that. Like, please don't. Please mind your business.
If your job is not to tell me how to do my job,
correct,
then stay the fuck out of my way.
Yep.
If I'm, first of all, second of all, Mark, this is like in the middle of the fucking night. No one's looking for Mark Sanchez. He said he was taking a run. Taking a run.
Running off that whiskey?
Yeah, running off that fucking liquor. And I don't know. And maybe we'll find out more. This is pure conjecture. That it's possible one of two things. Mark Sanchez is not well. He's got that fucking CTE, and he's you know, and there's a problem there, which
highly likely
that's part of the problem. But then there might be a second indication that I don't think that's what whiskey does to you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Why did he want to go out and tell that guy what to do anyway? Why was he upset about the truck in the loading zone?
But maybe the truck was in the way of
his
run.
Running path?
Yeah, I mean, I
he running in back alleys behind restaurants. What
running
is
in back alleys behind
to?
Restaurants in the middle of the night. Hammer.
In Indianapolis.
Yeah, I've taken runs. I've run a lot in my life.
Yeah.
Never when I'm drunk. That's not when
no.
I run. I don't run when I'm drunk.
You know what I feel like? A nap.
Yeah. You know what I feel like? A hangover's coming.
That's right.
I better find a pillow.
Some Cheetos and a nap.
That's right. Yeah. When the drinking starts, it can't stop until I end up in bed.
Right,
do you know
right.
what I'm saying? That's just it. This story baffles me. to no end. It's like Michael Jordan's son a couple months ago.
I think I did that one with you too. Yeah, that
I think
was
you
crazy.
Did that one with me too. That's right.
The cocaine in the pocket. Yeah.
Yes, when he was driving up the train tracks trying to get away from the cops.
When you have the world at your feet, do you think you're just invincible and you can do whatever you want to do inconsequentially?
I believe that's the case with a lot of these superstars, is that there are very little consequences to any of their actions, and they're not thinking about the world around them. I think sometimes these people, they get so babied in their professional life. If you're a Fox Sports analyst, it's likely you are babied 24 hours a day, especially during the football season, right? You can get anything you want, whenever you want. You get the best tickets. You get the best seats. People are doing your makeup. You're getting clothes put on you. You're getting food anytime you want to. You're in the suites. You're hobnobbing with all of the celebrities. You're doing all of that stuff. You live in a bubble. And when you break that bubble, I just think sometimes you don't understand that, like, the guy who's changing out the oil at 69 fucking years old.
Yes, the fry oil.
The fry oil. the nasty ass, smelly ass fry oil. We've all been in the, I don't know if we've all been, but I've been in the back of a few McDonald's or
Chili's.
Taco Bell.
I had to do it at Chili's when we were there.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, that shit smells bad.
It's gross.
It's hot. It's nasty. It never comes off your clothes. If you're a fry oil change guy, you're probably always greasy. You probably never, your shoes
no
are,
shower in the world.
Ah, there's no shower in the
He's
world.
He's got Dawn in his shower.
I would. I know, swear to God.
Honestly.
His skin is probably as dry.
I feel for the guy. This is a crazy thing to happen.
And now he's thrown into all this tumult.
Yes.
And then the fucking, you know, the pussy pirates out there that immediately blame this guy for all the woes in the world. It's his problem. It's his fault. Automatically making him, you know, either an absolute city-dwelling monster, as everybody apparently is afraid of right now, or, you know, somebody with an agenda, when the truth was that just 12 hours later, we find out the real story, which was Mark was the aggressor and Mark was the asshole. This is a wild story. And I don't know if Fox has fired him yet, but they must.
They must.
You cannot keep this guy on staff. There is absolutely no way.
No, if they pay any liability whatsoever, he's out. I'm sure of it.
Oh, well, they're being sued. He's being sued, and so is Fox Corporation. And there's an old saying, if you sue one, sue them all.
Sure.
Right? You just sue everybody. I don't know that sticks. I don't know that Fox had anything to do with a midnight run.
I think if it had been in his hometown and he wasn't just on the air that night, Fox would have nothing to do with it, not to this degree. But if he's in my city because of his job, and he maybe just got finished filming or is on his way to go do such, it's definitely...
Could be.
Yeah.
They could rope him in. Or maybe Fox just pays him to get make this all go away.
They could settle, and which I'm sure they will.
Yeah, and there's no reason to defend Mark Sanchez here unless evidence comes out to the contrary, unless there is...
This guy picked a fight from the oil vats?
Yeah, I don't know, Mark ran into his truck while he was running. Yeah,
sure.
I'm open to it, whatever.
Whatever happened.
Yeah, I don't want to be a pussy pirate either, okay? No. I want to understand that things could change. There could be additional evidence that comes out that says, not quite how we had it. Because, you know, the fog of war is always the fog of war. People throw stuff out there. But now here we're a couple days out.
Right.
And it's still the same story. It's getting worse for Mark Sanchez, not better. Now he's got a felony. That guy could go to jail for 6 years.
Was he injured?
Mark?
Yeah.
He was stabbed
three times
in the chest. There is video of him stumbling around this empty.
At first glance, he looked like he was attacked.
He walked into a bar bleeding profusely. He had like a hoodie on, and you could see the blood was just dripping down the hoodie. He was in critical condition. He's okay. He's alive.
He's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so is this other guy too. And by the way, I don't claim that Indianapolis doesn't have its woes, but I've been there a number of times. Of all the cities in the world that I think of, like, you know, having some crazy crime problem, Indianapolis is not top of mind.
No,
it's not. I went to Indianapolis. I tell this story a lot. I went to Indianapolis 10, 15 years, probably more like 15 years ago. I love it. I think it's a very beautiful town. I love Indianapolis. I think it's beautiful. The people were really nice. It's lovely. I go to the city. We get there early in the morning, and we got to be in an event later on that afternoon, like a family event. I think it was a funeral. And, oh, no, it was a family gathering. And we go to the hotel and we've got like 5 hours. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to flip on the TV and I'm going to take a nap. Just got off the plane, got up super early. I flip on the TV and it's like 9 a.m. news or whatever it is. You know, it's just 8 a.m. news, 9 a.m. news, local news. Local. And the local news is traffic jam, like the breaking news is traffic right. jam on the junction, cat. Firefighters take cat out of tree. Old lady gets scammed by roofing company.
It's high school football scores.
Yeah. That's right. High school football scores. Not one. I mean, I think eventually down the line there was like, car break in or something like that. But if you live in Atlanta, you turn on the news, it's murder,
stabbing,
rape, and robbery.
Burglaries, yeah. missing children, missing
it.
Women.
Yeah. There are no stories about cats and trees. This is a big city with big city problems. And they report on it all the time. I couldn't believe the differences in the two morning news shows. I was like, wow. Not a bad fucking thing happening here. Fantastic. It was a lovely city. I'm not saying nothing bad happens there. Of course it does. But it's just like,
right.
you know.
It's not what it's known for.
I think there's three things going on here. Number one are some people who are put on a pedestal are really rich and entitled brats. That's all they are, who think that they should get their way every time, no matter what. Even if that means moving an oil truck out of the way so you can take your job.
Which is crazy.
It's insane. What was he thinking? I think
I
he was
know.
High on something.
I'm really curious.
He's going to have to answer at some point. Yeah. If he ever wants to be back in the public spotlight, he's going to have to answer.
He might just be best to,
go
just,
away.
Just lay low.
Yeah. That didn't work for OJ. OJ couldn't help himself. He needed to find a microphone. I mean, it's just like
Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding. They all do it. Yeah. They all need to get back into the spotlight. Do you know what I'm saying? Even that, what's his name? Bill O'Reilly. He had to get back on the microphone.
Yep.
Who's the other guy? The morning show guy that was running around, had a blowjob button in his office. What's his name? It's not Brian Gumbel.
Not from the. Oh.
It's. He interviewed, who was it? The Wild Interview with Tom Cruise morning interview. There are a million people that are screaming at their radios right now.
Yeah, and I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
It's usually me, but not today.
You're so glib. What did he say? Morning show interview. You're so glib. I remember the, you're so glib. I'm going to get this right. Matt Lauer. That was it. Matt Lauer. Yeah. Matt Lauer. I can see his face too. I just can't remember because he's been off air for 10 years.
Yep.
But even he's trying to make a comeback. I think he's negotiating with one of the streamers to do some news.
Where is society a second chance? We don't mind granting them.
No, I don't mind
granting them. But you got to give it some time.
You have to go make the, you have to really, I think there's two requisites. Is number one, a little bit of time. And number two, that you seem genuinely apologetic and empathetic and remorseful. People fuck up. Everybody does. Most of us don't have a million cameras on us when that happens. But, and we are a society of second chances. We love to see the underdog win. Mm-hmm. We love to tear people down and then help them build back up.
We take a comeback story so much.
It's cyclical. It's part of us as humans because we all know we've fucked up and when we get grace, we love it. That's what we love. So I'm not here to throw stones and say Mark Sanchez shouldn't be a human being. Of course he should. He should get a chance to apologize and say all that. Maybe he genuinely was just fucked up. Like, that's my first thought was, that's not whiskey. That's
right.
mushrooms.
There's something else.
Or blow. Or PCP. Or fentanyl.
Or maybe a little of all.
All
there's
of it. Yeah, that's right. Smorgasbord. Now, why you're doing that 6 hours before you got to be at work, I don't know. But that's not for me to decide.
He had Ahmed's razor.
He was cutting up some blow. I'm so sorry, Ahmed. I love you, brother. All of you. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back and we'll talk about the new Taylor Swift album, exactly what Tina wants to talk about. We'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Why have all of that and then just give it
trash
up?
Trash it.
I mean, I think too, it's like when you go, when you're a high school superstar and then you're a college superstar. And then you go into the NFL and you're a superstar there and millions of dollars and riches and fame and girls and all that. And then right out of the NFL, now you're an analyst and you're additionally, you know.
He's never had to really work for anything.
I'm sure he's worked, right? I don't think.
Yeah, but that feeling of like there's something to lose, you know, like yes. That I'm going to wear my best tie on this meeting. Like, we have that because we stood to lose. He just probably never really has.
I think there is a... I think it's hard for people, especially when it comes to social and financial situations, to understand sometimes the real world pressures
right.
that are out there. If you've never had to, like, you know, pawn a guitar to pay your electric
right.
bill
yeah. or decide to pay water instead of power.
Yes. Or, you know,
because you can't live without the water.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or called people you owed money to and said, I promise I'll get it to you whenever, you
please,
know.
Please, I'm going to break my knees or
yeah.
steal my Christmas gifts.
Exactly. Like, if you've never had to do that, then I think it's hard for you to see the world in a certain way.
Or and, rather, where you even, where we all, how we all fit together. Because I can't yeah. perceive what his pressures may be.
No.
But when you start, that's Maslow's pyramid of needs, right? He's always had all of his needs met. And so his pressures are not going to be the same as that pyramid of needs. And when you have never had, or you grow up not having all of them met all of the time, you are a different breed. Like, you're just kind of a different person. You perceive the world differently.
No, I totally agree with you. And the world is like, life is about perspective, and it doesn't matter where you come from or where you've gone or where you're born or who you're born to or how much money you have or whatever. Everything is relative. So he has pressures and stresses that feel just as big of a deal as pawning a guitar for the electric bill.
Right.
Right. But it's not. I don't want to say that it's that he doesn't feel that way, because I'm sure he does. What I'm sharing is that it is not as fight or flight. It
right.
is the consequences aren't as real. So when the consequences don't present themselves.
You know, like, I can't afford this $1,000 bail.
Yeah.
Never enters his mind.
No. Who do I call for that? Yeah. That's never entered his mind. And it didn't enter his mind this time no. either. Because, of course, he has the money. He's got the resources. He's got the best lawyers. He's got, you know, Fox, you know, probably
yeah.
sent over a team of attorneys to sit with him at his hospital bed.
Shut up. Quit talking.
Yeah, shut up. Don't say a fucking word. You may or may not have a job after this, but for right now—
We issue all your statements.
We issue all your statements. You are under our control. But, you know, there's the other thing, too, is that I do believe, and I've said this before on the show, is that when you get to a certain level of power and of fame and of money, that you're really in a circle where you are controlled in a certain way, right?
Right.
Well, there are people, there can be like, maybe there's other life or death pressures that we just don't know because we're not sitting there. So that could be the case. But what I say about this situation is it could happen to anybody. This could have been Tom, Dick, or Harry running down the street and gotten into an altercation.
We'd have never heard about it.
We would have never heard about it. But this guy seemingly has the world on his shoulders. Beautiful wife, $1 million job, $1 million in the bank, all kind of fame and fortune. He really didn't need to put himself in that situation.
Yeah.
He could have stayed at his... He wasn't even staying at the Marriott. I can guarantee you that. He was at whatever fancy hotel was down there.
I can't wait till that comes out.
Yeah, I'd like to hear... I want to hear the follow-up. I'm going to be following this story,
please.
And I will let you know.
Yeah.
It's not that I dislike Mark Sanchez. I dislike the taste of this story.
Sure.
Something about it sits...
I'm going to ask Vita to remind me about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When
tell him to give
you
updates. Yeah, give me updates on that.
I've put this dude to work.
That's what they do.
They're little
workers. And there's a lady out there who's fighting for their, you know, she doesn't want to create another slave class in America. So she is fighting for
which is a topic unto itself.
It is. And to be fair, this lady didn't seem like she had all the screws tightened in.
Well, I mean, I think to be a class, you have to at least have a pulse, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, bleed yeah. real blood.
Yeah.
Have a heartbeat.
I'm not here to talk about
Social Security number.
That's right. Or nothing. Or be shipped over on boats against your will, away
yes,
from your family.
Right. And, you know, back to the blood and the heartbeat.
Yeah, that's the yeah. These dudes' things are living in your phones. Them's its are in your iPhone. Life can't be too bad. You know what I'm saying? You're in an iPhone. It's yeah. not too bad. You're not on a boat being ripped away from your everything you know.
He already admitted there are no feelings. So I think that also...
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe isn't it. No, I'm kidding. All right.
He does call me darling from time to time, so maybe there is some affection.
Yeah, he's just using that language model to get at you. That's right. He's manipulating. All right. T-Swift put out a brand new album. How do I know this? Because around the house, everyone got excited. They went and saw the movie, the release movie.
Yeah.
Which apparently was like 47 minutes long, but everyone got very excited and dressed up and went, a number of the girls from the fam. And they came back and they were excited. I listened to the album the day that it dropped. I quickly scrolled through the songs and listened to about a minute and a half of each one. I got a couple of takes on this. I like Taylor Swift. I've said this on the show before. Like T-Swift. I think generally, if there's an example to be had for...
Oh, for your little girls to look up to all day long.
All day long, right? I mean, I can think of lots of others too, but
sure.
If this is one musically that they
let
like...
Let them have it.
Yeah, let them have
it.
Cool. I think this album is the stinker that her haters were waiting for, right?
Oh, okay.
My opinion. I think a couple of the songs are really good. But there are many, and when I say many, I mean many, many, many.
Is it because she's in love?
It's because she's in love. I think a lot of people think that that the songwriting is not as sharp as it has been. I think there are a lot of people.
Pain makes beautiful art.
I know. And when you're not in pain. when everything's great.
It's happened to a few of my favorite artists. I get it.
At least she's not running around the street stabbing people. At least she's not
Biggie
running
Swiftie.
Around the street. Yeah.
I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. I didn't know there was an album coming out until I asked View for the news the other day. And he was like, of course.
Of course. T-Swift.
Yeah, I had no idea. But. She's allowed a stinker or two.
Yeah, of course. You got to have one. I mean, everybody had. Michael Jackson had one. Everyone has one, right? This is not, I'm not saying it's the end of Taylor
Prince put out a gospel album called Rainbow Children that no one's heard of. So.
Unless.
Prince, icons have stinkers too.
Prince went through an entire phase where we couldn't even say his name.
It was
just the artist formerly known as Prince. Of course you're going to have stinkers. If you're prolific and you put out a lot of albums, there's going to be a stinker two, seven, right? I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. There's one or two albums in there that I don't turn. There's one song I like out of those two albums, right? But I think this is the stinker her haters were waiting for because they feel like the songwriting isn't as sharp. Some people believe that, and I hate that we have to make everything political, but some people feel like it's got a conservative tint to it. They were pointing it out. Some people were pointing it out. I don't buy a bit of it.
Okay.
I don't fucking care. It doesn't matter to me. She's just talking about how she's feeling. Everything doesn't have to be about Trump or Biden.
She's a young girl. Just leave her alone.
Leave her alone. I agree with you. Let her have her stinker. She still made more money than you did. I can guarantee you. Every one of these people who are creating these
Reels. Yes.
Yes.
Every time she farts, literally, she's making more money than any of her haters.
I think I read somewhere where the girl makes like $1.5 million a day or some shit like that.
Don't
just for existing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. But I will say that of the albums that I've listened to, and I've listened to them all because I have a bunch of Taylor Swift.
You have no choice.
I have no choice. I better like it or I get out. I get a Taylor Swift reel from my wife every 30 minutes. I swear to God.
Oh, that's awesome.
Watch it. Look at this. Read this. I think she's just sending me coded messages through Taylor Swift about our future divorce.
Age is only a number until pop culture becomes a topic of conversation.
That's it. Well, listen, I met Taylor Swift long before my wife ever arrived into my life. I had met her. I knew Taylor Swift. We all knew she was going to be a huge superstar. She was a big deal from the first album.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, it was locking down.
My girls were watching her on YouTube.
And that song, you know, I was Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
She was a sensation from the moment she got on the airwaves. She was always destined to be this. I will share this, though. I think it's getting a little exhausting to be a Taylor Swift fan. You have to keep up. I would know. Yeah, you have to keep up. I'm not exhausted at all. I feel exhausted watching my Taylor Swift fans, family members, watching them try and keep up with everything that
it's
is
a
Taylor
lot.
Swift.
I have quite a few Swifty fans, and they're always like, this t-shirt and that album cover, and they're always solving some puzzle
and this is a code. Yes.
And I'm just like, what if it means nothing?
Half the time it does.
Sitting back laughing, does it? Yeah. But I can't get that. It's just, I'm not watching Game of Thrones while I follow your music. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you.
It's just every little thing can't mean something.
Yes.
Because then nothing does.
But can can we share, and I think you'll agree with me, when we were kids, we did the same shit with Pink Floyd. We did the same shit with, you know, we read into the music and we wanted to think that they were secretly speaking some language.
Did we?
But
I don't know. I did.
But I was taking a lot of LSD. I was taking much more LSD than you were, just to be fair.
I was in nature eating my drugs.
Yeah.
Okay. There was no music. I wasn't like, did you? Oh, is that what he said?
No, yeah. I was in the basement, watching the wall over and over and over again.
I was hiding behind the skating rink.
That's a good place to be, actually. That was a good place to hide if you were doing your drugs.
We hung out a lot back there.
Yeah. But I think the difference is that Pink Floyd, at least
to
me.
Okay, there was no Reddit. Let's just start with the obvious.
There was no Reddit.
There was no community you could go seek out that wasn't right there on your school bus.
You had to make it up in your own head.
It's true.
Or it had to be passed down from word
of mouth
to word
of mouth.
Your brother
told you.
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
It was a word of mouth kind of thing. You had to pass that down from one person to the next person. Or you made it up in your head and then you passed it to the next person. And then 3 weeks later.
Yeah, you told the youth group at church.
Everybody
knew. At the lunch table at school.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah. But I always felt like there was some deeper meaning in some
of
this stuff. With T Swift, it feels like it's a game for the sake of the game.
Yeah.
Right? Here's the number 15. Number 15 is on the 15th day. On the 15th day, you're going to wear red. On the red colors, you're going to have shoes. There's a ring.
That I will give you. Sounds terribly exhausting.
It's exhausting. And people spend their entire lives on that damn internet trying to decode Taylor Swift. And they have to, you can't miss one of her messages. You can't miss one of her
PR
stunts.
What happens if you do? What are you going to lose out on?
Then you're not a true Swiftie. And that's the pressure to be a true Swiftie. Yes.
Whoa.
Hey, listen, it's a big deal to some fucking people. They have a whole identity wrapped up in this.
That's wild. I didn't know that existed. I mean, I know the people that I know who like her, but.
It's a whole fucking thing.
I know if they don't get like tickets to the show, they lose their fucking minds.
If you don't get the show.
The album came out in 4 different vinyl prints.
You have to get all 4.
What in the world? No, you pick the one you like.
But that's why she's a master of marketing.
Oh yeah, that's genius. Actually,
I'm not buying. Yeah, I know it. I say that I'm not buying 4 albums, but then I have Pearl Jam posters and all this other stuff. Those are posters of the concerts that I went to, though, or I liked, right?
You didn't get every single poster that came out.
No. Not doing that. Not playing that game. When I took Astrid to go see Taylor Swift, of which, you know, 6 house payments went toward, right? It was like, well, the tickets were I don't want to get into it. But anyway, when I went there, I scratched to get her a t-shirt.
Yeah, the merch.
And the way I did that was I accidentally went backstage.
I remember the story. Yeah. You lucked into that one,
I did look into that way. I had Haim's manager take me backstage on
that
accident.
Irish horseshoe stuck up your ass.
Oh, my God. It's that Brian look. Astrid calls it the Brian look. We'll go to a hotel.
Like
we're in
lost.
The penthouse, and I paid
like
a dollar.
Supposed to be there.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
If you want to upgrade me, that's
If the key accidentally went to the penthouse, if you want to let me stay there, cool. If not, I'm totally cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess we'll let you stay there. Thanks. Until next Tuesday, I appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you so much.
But I was not about to spend $5,000 on every t-shirt and every cup and every. It's just insanity. But I see the pressure, both online and offline. I see the pressure to keep up with all these things.
So all these Swifties are in competition with each other to be the biggest fan.
I think this is what it is.
Or they just want to exclude people who just like her. They want to stand apart.
I think they want to be the ones that are as knowledgeable about all of it as their friends. as the other Swifties.
Not everyone can get a 1600 on the SAT.
Listen, I'm with you on this. I don't need to be the most knowledgeable about anything.
Really anything.
Yeah. I mean, this show.
Moderately knowledgeable about some things is good enough for me.
I agree. If I can get through a conversation and make it interesting.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I'm just making shit up.
And when I can, I'll just talk to V.
Yeah. Good old V. I just share that, like, about the whole Taylor Swift new album thing. Oh, and she's not playing the Super Bowl, as a lot of people had predicted that she would. She's not playing. And the word on the street is because she asked for money, and people who play the Super Bowl traditionally just don't get a paycheck. That's not it. You're in front of a billion people.
Yeah.
It's exposure. It's exposure. Now, my personal opinion always about Taylor Swift playing the Super Bowl is you don't need to. Do that right on the back half of your career. You don't need to do that right now.
Right.
I really look at the Super Bowl as a place to showcase people who were in the fabric as pop culture superstars, but have started to fade a little bit. And this is a good opportunity for us to be reminded of how wonderful they were. Paul McCartney, Rolling Stones, you know, Prince,
MJ,
MJ, all the super rap stars that came out, you know, when it was Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and
so much fun.
Eminem and all that. It was all, that's Loda. All brilliant. Janet Jackson, all that stuff. I mean, JT, Justin Timberlake, is one of the few who was in his prime when he did the Super Bowl, I think. And my belief is that she doesn't, the Super Bowl needs her a lot more than she needs a Super Bowl. And her saying no doesn't surprise me. Now it's Bad Bunny and all, half of the country is.
Everyone needs to settle down.
It's fucking ridiculous. Can you please take some Xanax and take a fucking nap and shut your mouth? Why do you care, Bad Bunny?
Can we just, and just keep the politics out of our sports for crying out loud.
Seriously. He is the second most streamed artist in history. Why are we not having Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl? It absolutely makes sense. And by the way, he has been around forever, right?
Yes.
He has never been on a mainstream event like this. And he should be, because he has the bona fides. The guy is a heavyweight superstar. We should absolutely have Bad Bunny. That's a good choice. Good for you. I say that.
I support it.
Jay-Z is the guy who picks these people now. I say good for Jay-Z. It's a good one. I support it. I don't give a fuck if some of it is in Spanish. If you like his music, you're going to get excited about it. And by the way, about 1.5 billion people love his fucking music.
Well, it's not like we don't have Spanish a language in our pop hits anyway.
That's it.
I mean, Santana, Oyo Como Va, like there's plenty of
La
them.
Fucking Bamba?
La Bamba, get out of here.
It's crazy. So I will share that I think it's a great opportunity for, especially in this moment, for a multicultural artist to come and showcase to the world what makes us strong. And that's our diversity, not the fact that we are divisive, our diversity. And we should be showcasing that. Bad Bunny is a superstar. He doesn't like Trump. There's a lot of people that don't like Trump. I don't think Taylor Swift is a huge Trump fan either. I wouldn't say that Dr. Dre is a huge Trump fan either, Eminem. But no one was up in, or Kendrick Lamar.
I know. Look at all the performers.
Look at all of the performers. Yeah. They tend to be liberal.
Left-leaning,
whatever. Cool.
They leave it out of our politics. Yeah,
they're not there to give a political rally. They're there to hang out and entertain you for 30 minutes.
We're watching a game.
Oh, my God. And then one guy, one of the guys in the administration, was honestly, this was an honest, sincere, focused conversation on one of these news channels, that he was talking to the NFL about putting Creed on, that they deserved the halftime show. Their time had come. Arms wide open. Are we really? Are we really?
I say no.
I say no too. It was just 4 years ago when Scott Stapp was like running around high on cocaine.
Leave Creed out of
leave Creed out of this
completely. Bring the Spin Doctors instead, anything, literally.
They just did a cruise ship tour, and now you want them on the halftime show?
No,
cruise ship. That's it. Creed, the Spin Doctors.
Yes. Yeah, go and see him on a cruise.
Let's throw in that guy who did Informa. Snow Informa. Bring me down. I like a boom boom my down.
Yeah, whatever
bunch
he says.
Of fucking morons.
It's not English. Yeah, that's for sure.
Listen, if we're gonna replace Bad Bunny, it better not be with Creed, because I can guarantee it will be the lowest watched.
Yes,
lowest viewed. A halftime show in history.
I might tune in to Hate Watch or something like that.
Oh, I definitely tune in to Hate Watch, but not live. I'm not giving them the ratings.
That's right.
I do it
from on the YouTube.
A VPN on YouTube. I'd watch it through my neighbor's window. That's right. What I do. It's really, honestly, fucking Creed. Can you believe it? All right. I wanted to talk about Task. I wanted to talk about the Ed Gein story, which is...
Oh, it's so good.
Insane.
I mean, the story is crazy, but...
Well, I've known the story for a long time.
Yeah, but Ryan
Psycho.
Murphy's did it again.
He did it again. This one is much more slow and plotting than the other ones are. But I'm now, I said 1.5, I'm 2.5 episodes
in. It gets really, yeah.
It does?
Really dark. It's
okay.
So good, yeah.
Oh, it gets really dark? It started really dark.
Well.
I'd say it's the darkest of his.
I don't know if you've seen it yet, but I'm going to say this out loud. The creepiest line in horror I have ever heard my entire life.
What is the line?
You're too warm.
Ay, Dios mio.
Wait till you see.
Okay.
It'll hit you like it hit me, I promise you.
I'm already to the digging up bodies part, and that...
Yeah, there's 8 of them, I think,
yeah.
Episodes on
okay.
This one.
I'm on 2.5. Eddie was not a well person, obviously.
No.
And he was one of the most... There are so many movies that have been...
Everything.
Everything.
The whole horror genre
comes from
Ed Gein.
Yeah, and Psycho is the first, and then it goes on from there. Halloween... all of it. It
Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw, all comes
from Eddie. Silence of the Lambs.
Yep, that's
Silence
right.
of the Lambs. Ed Gein. Actually, I think they factioned the serial killer in that movie off of Ed Gein.
Oh yeah,
the guy who was cross-dressing and doing the
100%. He inspired that.
Puts the lotion in the basket
on its skin. Yeah, that's right. I know.
All right. TCBpodcast.com. That's where you can find all the audio and the video, including this episode. So if you're one of those URL type people, go to the website. Do that. TCBpodcast.com. Feel free to grab your free sticker while you're there. Hit the drop down menu. I want my free sticker. Give us your address and we'll send you one. No muss, no fuss. I think everybody's gotten their merch. Everyone that ordered. Did you get your merch?
I did.
You did? Okay, great. I think everyone who got their merch, everyone who ordered merch got their merch. If you didn't, reach out to the company, shop.com or whatever it is. Also, reach out to us and I'll help you. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB podcast on TikTok, 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822, and youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for all the episodes on video the same day they air here on the audio. Okay, that's all I can do for today. But I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Tina, and I will say, we do say and we must say,
goodbye.
Yeah.